Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Daryl, for those songs.
Well, we are going to
get into this, this lesson. It's on fellowship. And we use this word an awful lot, fellowship. It may mean a little bit different to us than it would people in the world. You can have fellowship with people at work. You can have, you can have a block party with your neighbors. You can have fellowship with your family, a family reunion or whatever, or a group of friends get together, or being in a club and getting together. That's not the kind of fellowship we're talking about. The kind of fellowship we're talking about, we as Christians, is amongst our Christian brethren. And the word fellowship is used a lot. It's used in the Bible. It is used by us. And we just want to make sure that we're understanding what we're meaning when we say fellowship. The fellowship that we share is amongst Christian brethren. That's the link. People always say blood's thicker than water. Well, we're bound by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
It gets no stronger than that. No stronger. This word fellowship is understood as being together. Now, you can have a bond with Christians on another, in a whole other part of the world that we've never met. We have a bond with the missionaries that we support, with Milan, with David Maru. We have met Malcolm Parsley. We can have a bond with them just as Christian brethren, even though we don't enjoy activities with them. It's the bond that's there. But part of the fellowship is being together. You know, we as Christians aren't designed to be an island by ourselves. I'll just worship by myself at home. I guess, theoretically, you could take the Lord's Supper by yourself. You wouldn't be communing with in the presence of anybody. You could, theoretically, I guess, open the Bible and read by yourself. You could pray by yourself to God. But that aspect of fellowship, you've got to be with people. This last couple of years with the illness and the pandemic and all that stuff, that has affected Christians. Christians that normally were built up by each other, many have been worshiping from afar. They may go through the same things. We may have people right now, and I do not mean to step on anybody's toes. We may have people right now watching us online. And I'm glad you are. You may not be able to be here. But I will say this, and if it applies to you, it applies to you. And I will say that again. You don't have to like me for it. If it applies to you, it applies to you. Many people have gotten comfortable worshiping God in their bathrobe and a cup of coffee from home. There are people that we haven't seen for a few years now that claim they believe in God, that they are our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we've never seen them. Christian fellowship includes being together. It includes being together, not just at worship. It's not coming through the doors, checking that box off. I was here. I took the crack, check. I opened the songbook, I sang a song, check. I prayed, check. And then getting out the moment, I tell you, there's some people that get out of here like they're in a 100-yard dash. Amen. Boom! If you're unlucky enough to be in that hall, you could get run over. Stay seated for the amen, because sometimes you could get in somebody's way. That's not fellowshipping. It's worshiping together, but also being part of each other's lives. It's sharing the lives. It's knowing, not only knowing, but helping each other fight those battles that we each fight. When we get tired of swinging that sword, it's helping us. It's not only activities and actions. Fellowship is also an attitude. An attitude of how we view our brothers and sisters. Our scripture reading that Tracy had this morning was taken from 1 John, and this is how the apostle starts this book out. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. I love how the Apostle John puts to rest any of the unscriptural thoughts that were circulating in the religious world at this time, that this Jesus wasn't real. That he was an idea, he was a concept. That he was mystical, that he didn't live on earth. The old apostle says, who he? He really didn't say who he. But that's what he was saying. He goes, don't tell me that. Don't tell me Jesus of Nazareth wasn't real. We saw him. We handled him. We ate with him. We walked with him. We saw him heal people. We saw him conduct miracles. Goes on to say in verse 2, the life was manifested. It was made obvious. It was proven. It was clear. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. That's why he wants Christians that never got the opportunity to walk and talk and touch and eat with Jesus. He wants them to have that same kind of fellowship that they have. That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of His Son, of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's a powerful verse. It's a powerful passage. That's how He starts out His writings here in the letter of 1 John. Just a couple of chapters later, in chapter 4, He says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." I feel like I'm singing a camp song. "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested." Here's that word, manifested. "Made known," made clear, made obvious toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we love God. Here's a good explanation from the Apostle John. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God is living in us." There's a difference in seeing God and God making His abode with you. And that's what John is saying, that if we love one another like Christ loved His followers, like God loves the world, God is in us. In Acts 2:42, we see this love and this fellowship in real time. It says, and this is after the day of Pentecost when so many people were baptized and added to the church. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." We see what qualifies that fellowship. It has to be in the apostles' doctrine and the activities that they were doing. And they were bound by prayer. But following being added to the church, they continued with this and this fellowship. Paul understood this, and in 2 Corinthians he would write, besides the other things, in this passage, he's talking about all the hardships he's been through, the beatings, the many stripes he has faced, the shipwrecks, the imprisonments, things that when I go through maybe a little bit of a hardship, I read this and I'm almost embarrassed. "Shut your mouth, Bruce. You can't hold a candle to what Paul has gone through. Oh, I've got a headache. Paul would just be laughing at us. Well, he wouldn't be laughing at us. It would be sad. You're complaining about that. And in verse 28, he says, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. His love, that Christian fellowship love that he has for his brothers and sisters, outshines the other things that he's gone through. Next 21, we see how Paul treated the disciples and finding disciples in his travels and find his disciples. We stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. When he gets to a location, he is searching Christians out. Now, seeing that he stayed with them 7 days, he probably got an opportunity to worship with them at least once. If he showed up on the Lord's Day and then stayed 7 days, he got to worship with them twice. But when he gets to a place, he's searching the Christians out. And then just a couple of verses later, it says, and when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren, and stayed with them one day. That connection was the blood of Christ. He is searching people out, some of which he may have never met. And they have never met him, but that was good enough. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. A month or so ago, we had a lesson about this, about Philip. Paul, who was one of the people responsible for Stephen's death, a buddy and fellow deacon of Philip, now, some time later, they're staying with each other. The fact that they're brothers and sisters in Christ overrides impersonal issues that they would have had. Paul had been responsible for the death of Stephen. And now Philip houses Paul and welcomes him and his companions into his home. That's Christian fellowship. Paul would write, and this is an important verse. We've used this and have had this in bulletins and so forth. Paul wrote to the Galatians, says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Isn't that what we're supposed to do as a Christian? Mm-hmm. Do good to all, especially to those who are of the household. Especially your brothers and sisters. That's that Christian fellowship. I worried about this as I was preparing this lesson. Usually I'm pretty good, but I kind of felt I was packing 2 pounds of bologna and a pound package there. We're going to end up here soon and make this into a two-parter. And we'll finish it up next week. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. The Hebrew writer, and we covered this, I think it was last week, in Preston's Hebrews class. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's Christian fellowship. Considering each other, how we can stir up love and good works amongst each other. I personally can't think of a better compliment for somebody than they make me a better person. Mm-hmm. That's what this is saying. Consider each other how you can stir up love and good works. How you can be inspired and encouraged by others, and how you can inspire and encourage other people. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. You can't be that island. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I've often wondered what would the work at a location if it was dependent upon you? If it was dependent upon me or you individually, would there be services tonight? Would there be communion? Would there be an opening prayer? We always have people willing to step up and do things, but you can't do it from afar. You've got to be together to do that. I said this a few years ago. I'm going to say it again, even though an individual misunderstood what I got a call in the afternoon to confirm that the church wasn't shutting down. But I made the comment, what if you show up and there's a sign on the door closed due to lack of interest? No more Sunday evening worship due to lack of interest. No more coming together as Christians due to lack of interest. What if the Lord's church depended upon you? You. Not somebody else, you. I look at that, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. The writer is not excusing missing coming together. Not giving excuses at all. Next week, we're going to look. We've looked at the fellowship, the benefits, the commands to fellowship. What do we do if one of our brothers or sisters starts slipping? It's our duty. Our duty. Well, they know how to swim. Shouldn't have gotten in the pool if they didn't. Somebody else will save them. We're going to look at that next week. Like I said, I was looking at this lesson, I was kind of worried it was too much for one. I thought, I can get through it. Well, I can. We're going to look at this next week. If we can be of service to you, as your brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what the fellowship is based on, is being brothers and sisters. Based on doctrine, based on truth. People use the word fellowship and Christian very loosely in our society. According to what the Bible says, if we can assist you through prayers, through repentance, through baptism, whatever your need, please come forward as Daryl leads us in the invitation.